So Monday this week, 30th of January, several suicide bombers seem to have been able to infiltrate a mosque within a police compound in Peshawar. And while all the worshippers were gathering for the afternoon prayers, detonated their bombs in the front row. So far, the death toll stands at least 100, but they're still sifting through the rubble because subsequently the building collapsed. More than 200 people are injured, according to news reports. So a very, very serious attack on a what's supposed to be fairly secure location within Peshawar.
You said that people involved, not just this one person that infiltrated this mosque, which is, as you said, very well secured. What's known about who was behind this or who the rest of these people were?
Well, I mean, first of all, in order to get into a police compound in Peshawar, and maybe your listeners are not quite aware of what and who, where Peshawar is and what the role is. Peshawar is very close to the Afghan border, about 30 kilometers away from the border. It is the place in which a certain Osama bin Laden made the first list of fighters, which then later called the base Al-Qaeda. It had a hive of jihadist activity all through the war against the Soviet Union. It was one of the main places where the Taliban, until they took over power, especially the Haqqani networks or the hardline Taliban, were housed until August last year. That's why they had a Peshawar Shura. So security forces in that area of the Pakistani state are always living very dangerous lives, which means their compounds are usually fairly well secured because there is a constant threat. And therefore, the fact that more than one apparently suicide bomber was able to penetrate not only the compound, but also then the mosque, when all the policemen or many of the policemen of the compound were praying there, raises some questions about the security arrangements and potential even help from the inside, because this is not a public mosque. This is a mosque for policemen within the compound.
You've indicated that this looks like the work of, I think, the Taliban. My question is, what would their objective be here?
Yeah, so not the Taliban as in the Afghan Taliban, but the Taliban as in the Pakistani version of this, called the Tehrik-e-Taliban Pakistan, an Al-Qaeda affiliate, very closely connected to the Haqqani network of the Afghan Taliban, who were asked to negotiate between the TTP and the Pakistani government for a ceasefire last year, which then subsequently broke down. Now, the TTP one commander called Mohammed claimed immediately responsibility for the attack. And then a few hours later, I think when the full scale of what happened became obvious and it became too embarrassing that as a radical Islamist group, you killed worshippers, Sunnis, not Shias. The TTP is radically Sunnis. They wouldn't have any problem killing Shias. But Sunni worshippers, even if they're Pakistani policemen in a mosque, was potentially seen as too much by the organization. And then, so the official spokesman of the organization denied their involvement, not at all explaining why I was before the commander said it was us. So, yeah, working assumption is because also lack of other groups that would be able to pull this off apart from the Islamic State is that it's the Tehrik-e-Taliban Pakistan.
What does this mean on a broader scale for the rest of the world?
Well, this is unfortunately, again, an ominous sign that we are on a fast track back to the 90s in Afghanistan. On average, you had a doubling of TTP attacks against Pakistani targets since August 2021 every year. You have an ability of the TTP to procure weapons that the international community left behind. They have bases which they can train, protected by the Haqqani movement. And remember, a couple of weeks ago, we had a discussion about a hostage taking, and the TTP guys wanted to be taken back to Afghanistan. We could have this conversation in 1995 or 1996. It would be the same topic. The TTP didn't exist at that point, but it would have been some other Pakistani Al-Qaeda-aligned terrorist group who'd done that. And we would talk pretty much about the same thing. So Pakistan is already paying the price for the Taliban taking over in Afghanistan and for the Taliban willingly and openly, at least in the case of the TTP, harboring international terrorists.
Does this give any of the terror groups associated here that you're talking about a better or bigger platform to attack a Western country?
Look, I mean, the TTP is focused on Pakistan. So, you know, I would not want to claim that the TTP is in any stretch of the imagination a direct threat to the US homeland or a direct threat to Europe. However, it is a direct threat to whoever supports the Pakistani state in Pakistan. That could be an embassy or consulate or traveling foreigners. So, yeah. You know, this is really a really ominous sign. But the TTP also has connections to other groups. So the Islamic State Khorasan province, the active ISIL affiliate in Afghanistan and Pakistan, has part of its fighters coming from the Afghan Taliban. Part of its fighters also used to be members of Pakistani groups, including TTP. So there is a certain, and I have not seen a TTP Islamic State rivalry or fights in the way that at least sometimes the Taliban pretend to fight the Islamic State in Afghanistan. So there are connections on a personal level. There may be a co-location of fighters at some point in the border area, because you have sometimes TTP attacks and then next day you have Islamic State attacks. So the dividing line between those groups is not as clear as the name would suggest, which means more experience on how to do this, more training facilities to get your fighters ready. Of course, in a first instance, is the neighboring country. But the lesson we learned in the 1990s, and we should not necessarily need to learn again, is that it starts with the neighboring countries, and it will very quickly become a problem that doesn't stop at the neighboring countries.
What is the U.S., what does, I should say, the U.S., Western countries, and any allies that the Western countries have in that region, what is it that they should be doing right now with this information and with this development as a result of this attack?
Well, there are a couple of things. I mean, first of all, we have to understand that the neighborhood is beginning to get really dangerous. So, you know, as problematic as the Pakistani government is in the terrorist cooperation, this is the only player we have on the ground that has reached into Afghanistan. We need to intensify that cooperation. Clear-eyed that it's not a cooperation between Germany and the US, it's a cooperation between Pakistan and the US, which has a particular relationship with the Taliban, particular relationship with some of the groups that we consider terrorist groups, and are both on the United Nations as well as the US terror lists. The TTP is an enemy of the Pakistani state. It wants to actually topple the Pakistani government. That's the declared aim. It's operating in an area in Pakistan where the Pakistani state, by its constitution, has very limited ability to influence things, because there's a semi-autonomy in these tribal areas. So they need help. They need intelligence cooperation. The United States at least has technical capabilities that the Pakistani state doesn't have. So there is something on offer here. And as a price for this, we need better clarity of what's going on in Afghanistan, because I am not sure that we have a sufficient understanding of who does what and where in the country at this particular point. Thirdly, we still have a massive amount of money that flows into Afghanistan. And we've been talking about this many, many times. This is necessary humanitarian aid. But I can see various different mechanisms that the Taliban in Afghanistan are setting up right now to tap into this humanitarian money, not to distribute it to Afghans, but to distribute it to themselves and potentially to their friends that they protect and harbor, i.e. international terrorist organizations, of which there are many, both focused on Central Asia. Islamic Movement of Uzbekistan is an example, but also focused on a global scale, like the Islamic State Khorasan province. So we need to make sure that if this money flows into Afghanistan, we have a clear understanding where it's spent, what it's spent on, and minimize the money that gets lost in the process. It's helpful both for the Pakistani population, who desperately needs this money, but it's also a question of security. And so far, we do not have a sufficient amount of effective mechanisms to even understand how much money is getting lost.
So in other words, follow the money and you'll find what you're looking for. Not only is that the case in life in general, but It also seems to be true in the terrorist world.
Terrorism costs money. Exactly. There's one more point I wanted to make.
Sure.
Immediately following this attack and continuing till now, and this is a point that is really dear to our heart at CEP, the TTP, several of its accounts, so not just the spokesperson who said they weren't, but several other TTP, clearly marked TTP accounts on social media, are glorifying this attack, saying this is a revenge attack, this is wonderful, this should happen more often. So clearly violating the terms of service of absolutely every single platform that they're on. Yet, since this is not happening in English, it's happening in the local language, Urdu and Pashto, no one of those platforms deems to even look at this stuff, remove the content or suspend those accounts. Again, problematic things are not only problematic if they are posted in English, German, or European language. This is a society with a high level of violence. Incitement is wrong in America. It is also wrong in Pakistan. These platforms should finally step up to their global role and make sure they don't aggravate conflict and violence, even if it's not in America. It is their responsibility. If you earn global money, that's your responsibility on a global scale to make sure you don't exacerbate the things. And at the moment, social media is very much exacerbating the situation in Pakistan as far as this attack is concerned.
I can't really think of anything else that you can do. Your organization has been ringing this bell very loudly for years, and you've been speaking to the social media giants for years about this very thing, but they just haven't responded. At least I haven't found any way that they responded. Have you?
No, this is an easy thing. These accounts are not clandestine. They don't, not, you know, they say clearly we are the Tehrik-e-Taliban Pakistan, which is on the UN sanctions list. So every country sanctions these as a terrorist groups. It is also on the US sanctions list, and all the big platforms are US companies. So it is a no-brainer to make sure if you make some free speech argument that somehow the TTP must be allowed to voice its concerns. Okay, if you want to go down that road, even for violent terrorists who kill people, fine. But then if they glorify a particular attack in which at least 100 worshippers are killed, then I don't know where your limits for free speech are in your mind.
Dr. Hans Jacob Schindler, Senior Director at the Counter-Extremism Project. JJ Green, WTOP News.